Whatever you want to say about the crimes of Syria's Bashar al-Assad, he's still in power in Damascus after 5 years of war and 400,000 people dead.
If you have a doctor who cut the head because of a gangrene to save the patient, you don't say he's a brutal doctor. He's doing his job in order to rest, to save the rest of the body. So when you protect your country from the terrorists, and you kill terrorists, and you defeat terrorists, you're not brutal. You are a patriot. That's how you look at yourself, and that's how the people want to look at you.
In an interview with NBC News, President Assad uses that colorful metaphor of amputation as cure for the people of Syria. The people of Syria might also ask, what is the U.S. mission right now in Syria? That became a more difficult question to answer this week when an American airstrike killed more than 100 civilians in the town of Manbij, and when a video surfaced that seemed to show U.S.-backed rebels beheading a 12-year-old refugee in Aleppo that they claimed was a Palestinian pro-government fighter. And with Turkey recovering from a coup attempt to the north, suddenly there are new positive and negative signs to sort through in the Middle East. Rami Khoury is director of the Islam Affairs Institute for Public Policy and International Affairs at the American University of Beirut. Assad, he says, has been able to survive in a war of attrition, but time is no longer on his side.
Well, it looks good to him in the short run, actually, rather than the long run. I think he's realized that he's been able to stay in power. He's got the Russians, the Iranians, Hezbollah supporting him. He's got a trickle of some countries around the world, including in Europe, coming back and talking to him and, you know, rekindling diplomatic relations and sort of not isolating him as much. So he feels confident, but he's really in a very weak position. He controls about maybe a quarter of his country, and he can only stay in power with massive Russian, Iranian, and Hezbollah military and financial assistance. So he seems strong, but he's actually very weak and very vulnerable. And that's why the U.S. and others, the Europeans now, are jumping into the diplomatic arena to try. They figure that he is actually weak in the longer, medium run, long run, and they want to work with the Russians to try to figure out, can they start a political transition?
Is there any long-term diplomatic settlement here that would maintain the current borders of Syria and not partition it into three districts?
I think it's absolutely sure that the country will remain within its present borders. What happens inside those borders will change in the sense that you're likely to get very decentralized government with much more local autonomy, like the Kurds have autonomy in northern Iraq, and you'll have autonomous regions that are linked together to maintain the Syria that we know today in its present borders, but with a very different power-sharing structure and a very different government system, we hope.
And would that include some sort of political collaboration between ISIS, which controls territory in Syria, and the Assad government?
Oh, absolutely not. ISIS is going to disappear sometime in the next, probably, I would guess, year. They will be beaten back out of Raqqa and eventually then out of Mosul in Iraq. The problem is that the underlying drivers of discontent and desperation across the Arab world that caused tens of thousands of people to join ISIS or Jabhat al-Nusra, which is the Qaeda affiliate in Syria, or many other groups like that, those underlying conditions and drivers are still there. So ISIS will be defeated in Raqqa and Mosul, but the forces that create ISIS are still around, and something else will probably take their place. In other words, there will be continued dynamics of turbulence, disruption, violence, probably some terrorism, and this will only be resolved in the long run when you get a genuine power-sharing system in countries like Syria, like Iraq, other countries. And that's when you have calm and stability, and then you can have development and prosperity, and you don't have the thousands and thousands of desperate young men going to groups like ISIS.
Why does the U.S. appear to be so involved in a confused and ineffective quagmire right now in its air power and the mission that it seems to be carrying out that no one can explain?
The U.S. just is not really politically, psychologically, temperamentally, or intellectually able to engage in the kind of combination of diplomacy, peace building, and military actions that are needed to succeed in the Middle East. And that's why I think Obama was more or less right to not to get too much more involved and try to get out of the region militarily, because it was the American involvement was just creating more problems for the U.S. and more problems for the people of the region. And you see that everywhere the U.S. was involved militarily, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Libya, you have a mess now, a terrible, you know, awful situation. So I think the situation calls for a better approach that uses more diplomacy and really looks at the underlying problems and tries to solve them in the way that South Africa was resolved, Northern Ireland was resolved, other conflicts were resolved when people looked at the actual underlying problems. What was the problem and solve it politically?
Finally, is the instability in Turkey or the changes that are taking place, maybe it's not instability, it's more of Erdogan, is that an opportunity for the refugees? Is that an opportunity for the humanitarian crisis? Does that positively or negatively affect that situation?
It's too early to tell what's going to happen in Turkey, but clearly we have to keep a careful eye on it. And what happens in Turkey now is partly dependent on how they pursue their Syrian policies. They have a kind of a maturity and a decisiveness that most other countries in the Middle East don't have. And we'll have to see how Erdogan responds now to the internal situation and how he deals with regional issues, the Kurds, Syria, and fighting ISIS. Those are the three interlinked issues that he has to deal with right now. And most of the signs so far have been in the last, say, 2 or 3 years that the Turks have not dealt with these issues very well. They're going to have to rethink what their policies are going to be. And it's possible that Turkey's evolution now may create more problems in the region and more warfare, or they may actually lead to a stabilization and pushing people to actually go and really address those underlying issues and solve them in a way that is acceptable to everybody.
Rami Khoury is Senior Fellow at the Issam Ferres Institute for Public Policy and International Affairs at the American University of Beirut. Rami, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.